It's your favorite blockhead coming to you once again to talk about my sponsors over at Narrative.fm with their newest show, In the Wild. This podcast is true and gripping tales of survival, tragedy, and triumph from the depths of the wilderness. Those of you that love the great outdoors but know the risks that lay ahead, these guys tell meaningful stories on their podcast, so check out In the Wild, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can go to my link for yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, and you can pull up the In the Wild podcast. Highly recommend this podcast. Super proud to be a part of their journey. Once again, that is the In the Wild podcast. Go check them out today. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to Your Favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. And today, we're taking a reprieve from all of those because I happen to have with me a very special guest that I am still smiling ear to ear. The podcasting gods have aligned and, hey, have smiled down on me again. Because those of you in the past that have followed my show, the Grindhouse Radio has made an appearance before. We talked to Brimstone a while back, maybe episode 107 or 8 or something like that. We had Brimstone on. He was definitely a lightning bolt when he came in. He was a hard personality to keep up with. But, guys, another quarter of the pie is showing up today. Not only the charismatic one, but also the one who's the ringleader that pulls everything back together and gives you guys in Long Island a fantastic show. Without any further ado, let's get to know her. I give you the one and only, the lovely, the charismatic, Miss Kim Adragna from the Grindhouse Radio. Kim, welcome to the Blockhead Hour.
Oh, what's up, Ryan? How's it going?
I cannot complain. Yeah.
I'm pumped to be here. I'm really pumped to be here.
I hope that was a good enough introduction to get the blood flowing a little bit, but because the thing
is, I loved it.
Now, the thing is, when people go to the Grindhouse Radio, it's not hard to figure out who you are just by going to the bios and listening to the show and going back through a couple of the recent ones. But your resume is as impressive as the day is long. So, what I'd like to start with you on here is this, Kim. Can you walk us through how you came to join up with these three other guys, these personalities, at the Grindhouse Radio back in 2015? Can you walk us through that?
Absolutely. So it's a funny story, actually. So you said Brim was on. So years ago, Steve and I, Steve is also on the show, he and I interned for Brim when he had Hound Comics. And I did his PR, and Steve did some sales and everything. So he knew that I had a radio background, and Steve had a audio background as well. So a local college here, I started up the radio station here from the ground, had no idea what to do with the radio station. Glad and happy to know that the college here where I went to is still up and running, so I'm proud of that. But that's initially how I started and how Brim found out that I was in broadcasting and Steve was. So there was one day where we were all like, well, why don't we just have a show? Let's just record 1 hour. Let's see what happens. And 1 hour with no soundproofing, none of that. 1 hour turned into 2 hours eventually, turned into a studio that we rented, to having our own studio, to having a full studio with soundproofing. So, 5 years ago, we had nothing, and now we built it up, and, we've traveled, we've met awesome people such as yourself, and that's literally the journey as to the quick version, but that's the journey of how basically the Grindhouse Radio started.
Well, even if you started off with nothing, I can honestly say it's paid off because on into 2017 and for the last 4 years, you guys have landed the best radio show in Long Island. That's quite an accomplishment itself. So maybe we can just talk about the community a little bit. Is it the personality? Is it the listeners? Is it a combination of all of them that have led y'all to have those accolades?
So, I mean, when you're first starting out anything, you can't you can't go guns blazing and thinking you're going to be the end all be all. You know, it's about the journey, not the destination. Of course, everyone wants to get to the destination, of course, but you know, it's the journey along the way. It's the people you meet. It's the experiences that you experience. And, you know, that's kind of what made us who we are and why we've had, you know, the listenership that we have. You know, we have, you know, millions of listeners years later. And we grew it over time just because we've put in the work, we've done the social media, we've gone to conventions, we've spoken to people, we've done the dirty work of essentially, and this is where we are now. So to win awards like, the Best of Long Island, it's flattering and it's great because it's all of Long Island who, you know, not every single person voted for us, but the people who have. And the people who weren't in Long Island, you know, they appreciate what we have given to them. And I think it has to do with these years of literally being our authentic selves and just great, putting out great content, being funny, just literally being ourselves. And I think that's why that worked out so well.
I think you're right. I mean, again, you can see the hustle. You can see, you know, the faith without works is dead. And your works have definitely shone through in so many ways, part of the Stan Lee Foundation, amongst so many other things that I can just lay out. I would do a grave injustice if I try to walk y'all through your accomplishments. But just specifically for you, right, especially for you, Kim, I know you also have a background in things like acting. You've done a few short films that are listed in your bio. You've done even some voiceovers for a video game. Those that are video gamers, you're going to start recognizing her when you start looking through her accomplishments. And even one that I appreciate as a teacher, the educational learning videos that you've done in the past. Do you have some best memories that you can share with the Blockhead Nation about those background?
Yeah. So, I mean, with the podcast, you know, we do a lot of sponsorships. So we've done, you know, a lot of commercials. When we've done the best of, we've actually at a local mall here, we've had giveaways upon giveaways upon giveaways. So we've worked with a lot of sponsors and a lot of brands who turned into sponsors because they liked what we've done. And, so having that opportunity has given us the opportunity to record commercials for them. So that's some of the commercials I've done. Obviously I've done some commercials outside of GHR too, but in terms of like voiceover work, there's one that I've done, Friendlians. So my friend Joel Payne, he still does work for Disney. He does a lot of paintings and whatnot, but he would do some Imagineer work for Disney and thought of a lot of concepts. And he actually did some voiceover work himself. And I connected through him, I think through like Facebook, through like friends and whatnot. We were just talking and, you know, instead of like having like a 10-minute, 20-minute conversation, it would be like an hour and a half later of like what he's done, what I've done, what he's looking to do, what I'm looking to do. And they basically align. And he said, "Hey, you know, I'm trying to look for a voiceover for this character, you know, would you like to do it?" And I said, "Heck yeah, I want to do this." So I did it. He was like, "Well, I want you to think of the personality. I want you to think of the name." You know, he came up with the design, so that's all his. But I mean, then Harmony from Friendlians came alive, and then I was doing some early learning for kids and also parents. So I loved it. It's great. Absolutely. Anything I do in terms of voiceover, it's fun. I mean, the goal of all goals is to you know, really be a Disney character or a DreamWorks or Blue Skies. Any of those I would love to work with. That's my ultimate goal. So it's going to happen. Putting it out there.
There you go.
But in the end, right? That's what it's all about. You got to positive vibes, putting it out there. But in terms of work, anything I do, whether it's commercial, whether it's voiceover, whether it's acting, I have fun, you know, because like I said earlier, it's about the journey. It's not about the destination, and it's about the people you meet along the way. And it's also teaching yourself that you can do it. So if you have any doubts, you got this. So anyway, yeah, no, no, those are some of my works.
You've heard the dream here, Blockhead Nation. We're going to get behind Kim as she continues to shoot for the stars. But again, the accolades are just dripping off of you guys' pages, and also with just the guests that y'all have had. You can hear the intro of the Grindhouse Radio and go, hey, that's a lot of people, by the way. I love you guys' intro for your show, for your podcast. But another thing I forgot to mention is that I normally don't have females on the show. It's not that y'all are not welcome. It's just when I look at my demographics, I typically have 25 to 45-year-old males more often than not. You're the second female that I've had, you know, of all time, so there's another small accomplishment. But if I had to right. Hey, I'll take it. But I'll, you know, the thing is if you're going to, since we're getting to know you a little bit, I have to take a breather and just say, if my listeners, the Blockhead Nation, start going over to the Grindhouse Radio, since they're the listeners who are not familiar, how would you describe, even though he's been on, how would you describe some of these guys? Let's start with Brimstone. What can they anticipate when they come onto the show and listen to him talk?
Brim is very big and bold and boisterous, and he is very, like you said, he just comes all guns blazing. And that's always been him from the moment I've met him. He's a very characteristic kind of person. But he has some of like the craziest stories I have ever heard. Yes. And that's what you could probably hear from him, because when we all started out, he was the person who had the entertainment background. When we first started, we didn't. So anything that he brings to the table, you know, now, you know, Tom, Steve, and I, we know people now, we've talked to people, so now we have more of the industry, doing more voiceover acting, all that. But he still has stories that I don't necessarily have, that is just really interesting to hear, because he's had, you know, 20 plus years of doing that.
Right.
From the moment that he's actually 40 plus years, because he started out young. Yeah. So, you know, that's him. He's a very, hey, I'm Brimstone kind of person.
Oh, yeah.
So he's very out there.
He's very much that boisterous storyteller.
Yeah, if anything, he is the storyteller. He's like the storyteller of the group. I mean, everyone has their own stories and crazy stories. Steve has crazy stories. Tom has crazy stories. I do. And even some of the other people who are on our show. But in terms of Brim, yeah, that's Brim.
Absolutely. I mean, it didn't mean to cut you off. It's just one of those, I totally emphatically agree with you. It's just because, man, Brim really does cut right through to the chase. He's the guy that's right there. You're going to notice him right away. But now we get to some of the technical guys. We get into your buddy Zambo. We get into Tom. What can we expect from listening to Steve?
Steve is Steve. You know, just Steve is just Steve, but in like the best way possible, because like Brim, he has like the weirdest stories. Like Brim has like industry stories,
right?
Steve has like weird stories, but like they're so entertaining. You know, he really knows what he's doing with tech. You know, he really is just an overall awesome guy, and you know, he really means well in anything that he does. And he's just very sweet about it. But if you're gonna know anything about Steve, you know, he has some strange stories. But he's very knowledgeable in anything video games. And just if it had to be, it would be like Brim and then Steve in like terms of like older class, older school kind of movies.
Yes.
So he's very like nostalgic in that sense, and also with music. So if you ever had to like hear about, like, he knows video games, older movies, and just older music, and that's what he's good at too. So.
Absolutely. And of course, we don't want to leave him out. We got to get to Tom about what can they expect when you get through the whole round table. What about this guy?
Tom Tomato, as I used to call him a lot. I don't call him Tomato as much anymore, but I'll sneak it in sometimes.
Right.
Tom's just the best. You know, Tom and I always click. We've always clicked, and we're always like here at the same level with things. We also have a Disney show together. It's called The Magic Kim Tom. So instead of Thursdays, 7 p.m. Standard Time for Grindhouse, it's Magical Mondays for The Magic Kim Tom on 7 p.m. Not a selfish plug, just
that's
just have that show together, because he loves Disney. That's one thing you have to know. He loves Disney. Like, his family are like Disney freaks. If you ever marry into his family, if you're born into the family, Disney people. And sure. Also, he's a very, very, very big sports person. He also does PNG on the show. So, you could run any sports team by him. He knows almost all the knowledge and is very good at that. And he's also just a roundabout awesome guy. He wants the very best for people. So that's Tom. Yeah.
I have to agree. You hit everything about, again, there's your plug. You heard it here, guys, Magic Kingdom. But either way, point being, all of those are the key points for this roundtable. There's something for everybody if they go to the Groundhouse Radio. And of course, mm-hmm. again, in your case, you're not really the one who tries to tie it all back in, and we have this show to do. It's just when you go on those tangents, I'm like, guys, we still got some bullet points we've got to hit at this point. So which is always fun to see.
I mean, that's the beauty of podcasting too, when you think about it. Like, you really don't have to abide by certain rules. I mean, it's your show upon show. I mean, that's the beauty of it, because a lot of the times when people want to do podcasting or they start a YouTube channel, you know, even with podcasting, you know, it's hard to get into regular terrestrial radio. I love sure. terrestrial radio. I still listen to it, and I listen to podcasts. I listen to both. But in terms of everybody wants to be that personality. So with podcasting, it's given people the platform to basically have any show that they want, talk about anything that they want, create something, create content, and learn new skills, because you obviously need to learn how to edit and have different audio and all that. So that's the beauty of that. But for our show or anyone who listens, you know, it's worked so well for us, because like we said earlier, it's been so authentic. And I know if I'm doing interviews or if I'm, you know, even just on the show, yeah, we may be slightly heightened just for the entertainment factor. But in the end, it's still us. And when people listen to us, they always love, they're like, I feel like I'm sitting in this room with you guys. And that's all we wanted for people to listen to us with. That's what we wanted the takeaway to be. And it just works so well. When I talk to Tom, Tom talks to Steve, Steve talks to me, Steve talks to Brim, I talk to Brim. Whoever it is always has something to bring to the table. And I think that's why it works out so well. So if you ever have, you know, if you're working with podcasting and you are looking for co-hosts, you know, try to get people who, you know, you just mesh with. That's the beauty of it.
Thank you, Blockhead Nation. Hope you're enjoying the show. But guys, when you come to my show, you get an earful of mixed martial arts. If that's not your forte, then YFB's got you covered. Check out the sponsors for this episode on my feed. Go to myfeed.today/trending. Download the app and follow all your favorite celebrities, pop culture, music, sports, movies, and more. Discover who's trending today and stay up to date with my feed. Go to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. And click the link from my feed, or go to myfeed.today/trending, download it to your phone, and start enjoying my feed today. Truer words were never spoken. I hope everybody is listening to these gems that were just dropped here. And of course, you're absolutely right, because once again, how else can a guy that talks about peanuts and MMA somehow make a podcast out there in the podcasting world? It's because we have this platform. It's true.
You have now.
Yeah.
Look at you, and it's there a great show.
Now, on that mm-hmm. note, just to have a little bit of fun, there are so many things that I could really build you up on, Kim, but I have to say, I don't know where this was. This was just like a day. I think I was just down in the dumps, and all of a sudden, I found this video you put up of you pretty much being a, quote, Lysol warrior. COVID-19 comes out. They don't know. They have met their match when it comes to Kim. So maybe was that just like a spur-of-the-moment thing you did at the office one day, or did y'all plan that out and go, we've got to make this film? How did that video come to be?
Yeah, so I called it. I was, you know what, I was thinking of – so I, for whatever reason, I saw a bunch of people just making videos about the quarantine and, you know, the virus and everything. And this was way before, like, New York or basically the whole world had basically a lockdown.
Right.
And, you know, everyone was like, they didn't really know what was going on. They just knew, okay, Lysol, spray everything down. Obviously now we know it's a very big, big thing now. And so then I was like, you know, I just want to make something really funny. I wanted to just make a really weird video of me spraying around the office, in the studio, around the building, going outside the building. And I was like, well, if I'm gonna do that, I have to have an interesting name. So I was like, you know, Kim Quarantini. So I was like, all right. So basically, no, it was spur of the moment. I was like, you know, I asked Tom, I was like, I'm going to need someone to film it for me. Can you film it for me? And he's like, sure. And then I was like, well, do you want to be in it at some point? And then Steve showed up and then Steve was in it. Brim wasn't in the office or else he would have been in it. But then, you know, one thing led to another and then the whole video came to be. And I had a fun time doing it. I loved it. It was great. And the funny part is when I'm spraying, it's not even Lysol. It's Febreze. And that's the funny part. And someone told me the next day, I was talking to them in the studio and who didn't even know that I'd made this video yet. And they were like, why does the whole building and hallway smell like Febreze? I'm like, that was me.
There it is.
Like, that was me. I'm sorry. But no, I had fun. I wanted to do it. I had it planned, but how it was filmed wasn't really planned at all. I just said, all right, let's just see what happens. And that's what happened.
So, beautiful. Yeah. Those of you that have not gone to her Instagram page, guys, go to Kim McDrogna's page and you've got to see this video. Just go back through it. It's there. And I can always, maybe I might even put it in the blog for all I know. I don't know. Either way, when I start plugging you, but we'll definitely have to get you on that one. Now,
poor people's eyes.
That's true. I didn't think about how you're going to have to own up to it the very next day. Love it.
You know what? It's out there in the ethers. People saw it. I can't, you know? Hey, yeah. That's it.
There you go. So kind of back to the work perspective behind it. Now, to keep the show going, you guys have done, obviously, not just commercials, but you've done sponsorships. You've even done a lot of charity work where you've given back to them. I know that that is a long discussion that we could have, but do you have a few of them that might be either sponsors or just charities that you have done with GHR that really just hold a very special place in your heart you want to talk about on this show?
I don't know if I could pick one. I mean, honestly, I've always been – my family has always grown up doing that too. And also it's just the best thing to do. It's for your community and the people around you. I mean, one that I want to get more involved with is St. Jude. Mm-hmm. I think that's I mean, I always want to get involved with anyone that I can. But I think the next one for me would be St. Jude. But any charity that we – could get involved in is special, because the whole point of us starting the podcast was to obviously get people like to know us and to get out there and to have these awesome opportunities. But because we have this platform and because we've built it up so much and, you know, we have the listener base that we have, it's easier to get any message across in terms of, you know, charity work, and anything that we could get involved with is something that we want to get involved with because we're helping out.
Sure.
And that's what it's all about, helping out the community. We did one recently where it was for the virus, where locally in the community, for families who may have relied, or specifically kids too, who may have relied on school lunches.
Oh, yes.
You know, sometimes that's the case where they rely on school lunches and that's their only form of lunches. We've gone to Walmart, bought up so much food, like carts and carts and carts of food. And we brought it to one of the local banks over there and, you know, had families go out and pick what they needed and wanted. And that was fulfilling for us because it's crazy to think in your, you know, your own community, like we're on Long Island, of course, different towns are more, you know, prosperous as other towns, but it's the moments like this where, you know, no one thought about having a virus. And in this case, but it shouldn't be that a virus makes us think of these times to actually go and help people.
Yeah.
So that was that, you know what I mean? So that was the most recent one that we did. And I'm glad we did it because a lot of people were happy that day.
Absolutely. And as a teacher, that's something that's kept me up at nights thinking about some of these kids where their one, you know, meals that they can expect are coming from school. And, you know, a lot of us, we just rolled up our sleeves and got them out there. So here in the DFW area, Dallas-Fort Worth, it's very much like you guys on Long Island, where our hearts were all in the right place for that. As far as also something that is a tearjerker in a heart, I don't mean to take you down this route, but I know that anytime that we can pay respects and give honor to somebody, I got some friends that listen to my show that are WWE fans and they'll know exactly what's going on, but we really want to, you know, give that due diligence to his memory and just care for him. And this time we had a tragedy recently with WWE with Shad Gaspard, but you had him on your show and got to know him for a short period of time. Would you be willing to walk us through your experiences with Shad?
Yeah, of course. Now I know Brim has been good friends with him longer than I have.
True.
I only spoke to Shad a couple times. I actually met Shad for the first time in San Diego last year when they had it. And he, on the show, in person, no matter what it was, on social media, he was just an awesome guy. And there's not much I could say to that, because he was just really such a sweet guy and he wanted the best for people. And his presence when he would walk in the room, it was, you know, and the first time I met him was last year at San Diego Comic-Con. He was just so welcoming. I was welcoming towards him. You know, it wasn't like there was weird conversation. It was like we've been speaking for years and years.
Sure.
But no, you know, our respects always goes out to Shad and the family, and just weird, you know, it was a very, very weird story to hear. And you wouldn't think, you know, a WWE guy who is built and who is strong, would go through something like that. You know, you would think that he would be able to with the waves, and unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. And we lost him, but, you know, at least his son is
yes.
okay and everything. But my heart still goes out to the family.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just weird because, you know, as time goes on, you know, and you get to speak to more people and have the fortunate, you know, time to call these people or meet them in person or get to work with some people. You may not always get to see them always, you know, all the time because it's the industry, but when you do, it's those memories that, you know, maybe if I didn't speak to someone, you know, in a year from now and I say, I'm like, hey, how are you doing? And they're like, hey, how are you? And it leaves off of how we left. It's still upsetting to people to hear anyone pass away, and someone who is getting to learn the industry more and speak to more people. It's going to be weird, to know some people who will unfortunately pass away. But I mean, that's life. And of course, no one wishes that upon anyone, but my heart does go out to the Gaspard family.
Exactly. So respects to Shad for your memory, but also to the family, and also thankful for your son to be able to carry on the legacy. So we're giving our respects here on your favorite blockhead here with me and Kim. And there was a little bit of a segue I did notice in there, just because the next thing I was going to talk about was your experiences in Comic-Con. So at least that one, you judged a lot of panels on those apparently, but I have to ask that, even though with some of the panels, maybe some brief memories of one that you've done, what is also another big booth that you absolutely long to go to? Like every year, you know, I'm a Peanuts fan, so it's one of those, you know, if I have a chance to see anything that's Peanuts, I'm going to it. Same thing with my wife, the little red-haired girl. But what would that be, like the big booth? I've got to see it every year, and some just stories about you judging panels at Comic-Con.
Yeah. So, you know, I've only been doing these Comic-Cons in the last 5 years or so, when I started with Brim and Steve and Tom and everything. And I was never really a Comic-Con person before that. But now, having been there, it's pretty cool. Like seeing some people dress up, seeing some of the vendors that are there or some of the studios. It's like a whole new world. And it's interesting to see how Comic-Cons differ from each Comic-Con.
Yes.
You know, you have the smaller Comic-Cons who are more personable. You have the middle ones that are still personable. Even the bigger ones are still personable.
Right.
But it's interesting to see how each one is run and is very different, and the people that come out and show their love and support for you. I love Great Philadelphia Comic-Con. That's one that I'll always love. Getting to speak to some people who even I have looked up to in the industry, and some of them I'm sitting in a green room with them and I'm like, do I need to be, like, do I deserve to be here? But I'm like, yeah, do I worked hard.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's cool to meet some of these people who, you know, I met people from Harry Potter, from Game of Thrones, you know, from different movies, from Star Wars, different voiceovers, like Victoria Taylor, who was Ash Ketchum, or Charles Martinet, who was Mario and Luigi, you know.
Yeah.
So I never thought that my life would take this toll, or really what a Comic-Con was. But it's a whole journey, and I've done panels there. It's a lot of fun getting to know some people, and people have gone to some of my panels, and it's cool to see what questions people come up with. The last one, the huge one that was a whole experience, was San Diego Comic-Con, and yes. We were signing there in Celebro, and, that was crazy because I was used to, you know, a great Philadelphia Comic-Con, which was, you know, the medium-sized one, which is still a fun show. But, you know, the guys, they went a year before me, and they were like, you don't understand the crazy capacity and, like, what San Diego Comic-Con is, because the whole town shuts down. I don't know. Have you ever been to San Diego Comic-Con? Well, it, like, shuts down.
Yeah, I was actually stationed in San Diego, so a lot of times I would miss it. Would be out underway, but believe me, the experience was very much in your face anywhere through San Diego that time.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the whole town shuts down, and you see people walking with costumes, and you have trucks and vendors, food, and all that. Like, it's a whole to-do. And that's a whole experience. I don't know what specific panel I was looking forward to going to. One, because I really actually didn't know a lot of the panels that were going on because I was signing and then I was busy. But when I walked around, I went to the Stars. I went to Nickelodeon. I went to they had a SpongeBob one this year. They literally had a what was it? They had the restaurant that it was, the Krusty Krab. Okay. What else did they have? They had a whole bunch. And it was a lot of fun. And it was cool in there too. Like, that one, I didn't really get to speak to a lot of people, but in terms of fun speaking to different people was when we went on the IMDb boat. And that was That was a lot of fun, I mean. So other than that, they're very different Comic-Cons. All with different experiences, but all a lot of fun. No matter big or small, it's still fun to go to and still meet people.
Nice. Now, even though you mentioned that Tom is the really sports go-to guy on the show, is there like one particular sport right now that you're just itching for to start back up, or maybe just did because I got friends that listen, they're NASCAR fans. You know, me, I'm spoiled because I'm a UFC fan. But is there any sport you're itching for at this point just to start up again, get back to normal?
Honestly, I'm looking forward to baseball, to be honest. I know that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, it's around the corner.
Literally, any sport that I go to, it doesn't matter if I'm a fan of them or not, like, I get into it. Like, I got into Medieval Times. If you've never been to Medieval Times, like, I went crazy at Medieval Times. So whether it's Medieval Times or like, a stadium, I go crazy and I have fun. But if I had to pick a sport, it would have to be baseball. Sure. There's just something about going to a game, putting on a jersey, you know, wearing a hat, having ice cream, having a hot dog or a hamburger and fries. It's like there's just something there that's just so much fun going to one.
Oh, so yeah, you definitely fit in fine with a lot of my listeners there because they're itching for baseball. It's like you can't get here any sooner.
Yeah, and it was weird because, like, I remember I heard, like, a month or two ago, they were like, oh, maybe we're going to have, like, robotic umps. And I was like, though that's cool, and that's very Disney-esque, and I think that's awesome. Right? No, that's not the same. You can't have that. Though I understand because of, like, you need to be 6 feet apart and that whole situation. No, you need, like, the authentic, you know. You need it.
Agreed. I had a friend of mine recently that did an episode on one of his shows that was talking about South Korea trying to start up again, but they were putting like stuffed animals, literal stuffed animals in the stands just to have some sort of presence.
Yeah. Tom was like, I've been watching Korean baseball. He's like, they're great. I wouldn't care what team it was. He's like, I may not know what they're saying, but he's like, you need
right.
At least I'm watching baseball just because you want to watch the sport. And I was like, Hey, you know what? Support. Why not?
But
you know, a lot of people are itching back for sports, and it's going to be interesting to see for concert venues, for you know, live shows that go on, like Sesame Street or like whatever they have, or concerts in general. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here on out. Like, I know here in New York, they're not starting up Broadway until January.
Yeah, so, I was just thinking about that, yeah. About how Broadway's affected. Man.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Broadway?
I think, yeah, I actually got to go once. I got to see, I keep wanting to call it a Wizard of Oz, and that said Wicked. Now, the one I got to see was that one for sure. Just kind of walked through it. I think I just saw some of the venues from the outside, but that's the only one I've been on the inside out of. So I guess down the road with the little redhead girl, we'll make that one of our wish lists that we'll hit down the road when we figure out what this new, quote, new normal ends up being when that time comes. But we've actually planned on going back out to San Diego at some point because our checklist is to get to Santa Rosa and go to the Charles Schulz Museum. So that's
it. Okay.
Yeah, that's in due time.
Interesting. Little traveling. I like it.
Yeah, and we'll keep you up to date on that with everything that's your favorite blockhead. But keeping up with updates. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wonder, too, with, you know, Comic-Cons, you know, there were a lot of people.
True.
I'm going to say about a month ago, Brim and I, we were talking to Veronica Taylor, and she was like, I don't know what's going to happen with Comic-Cons. I mean, they're doing a lot of virtual Comic-Cons now.
Right.
But in the end, that's not the same. People want to actually shake hands and say hello, but no one really knows what's going to happen and what's going on. But I'm going to say in the next year or two, the new normal will be the new normal, whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever that is. That's why I keep putting in asterisks up here. It's like when we figure this out, when we can finally go to these places. Yeah, so definitely other times I'm going to want to hit Broadway and see other Comic-Cons down the road. But the big one is, you know, all the worry for me for the Charles Schulz Museum was really the wildfires out in Santa Rosa. And now we got a wholly different, you know, worry on our hands before reaching out there. But, you know, Kim,
every month it's something different.
Yeah, exactly. It's just as fickle as the wind, literally. But, Kim, thank you again so much for coming on, taking the time with me. I hope I've been a gracious host to you, rolling out the red carpet. But I will say this. I always do a takeaway at the end of my shows when I start wrapping things up and get some closure. For the listeners that are checking you out or hearing about the Groundish Ray for the first time, I'm not sure what people's attention spans are, but if there's one thing that you don't want people to forget about Kim from this episode or something you want just humanity to really know, what do you think that would be for people to take away from this show today?
Well, first, thank you, Brian. I appreciate you having me on. I mean, we see you in the live feeds, always supporting us, or always always writing something on our walls, and we really do appreciate it. So you're literally like number one fan, and you're just like number one awesome guy. Aww. And we really do appreciate it. So you guys need to tune in more to Brian. Come on now, support him, like him, subscribe, share if you aren't. But thank you. We appreciate, you know, all the love that you basically give us. And, we want to obviously send more people your way, 'cause this is the beauty of podcasters.
Yes.
But if I have to give one advice to people is, you know, it's cliche, but it's go after what you want. I mean, it's the most simplest of words, and sometimes people don't want to put in the work. That's the difference between something taking flight and not taking flight. And if you want to do something, you have to realize, like we said earlier, it's about the journey and it's not about the destination.
Sure.
And you're not going to know in life how long you will get to that journey and that destination. It could be 1 year, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years. But in the end, if you love it that much and you have something that you wanted to do, whether it's learn a new instrument, acting, voiceover work, a sport, you know, writing, whatever it is, just go after and do it. Like, make it happen, put in the work, and because you only have one life, and you know what? Enjoy your life and do it enjoying something you want to do. So do that, guys.
I think that's our mic drop, Blockhead Nation, and what more can be said at this point. But again, before we head out, we'll just do one last thing. Since we've gotten your story, we've gotten everything about your involvement in the Grindhouse Radio, but we got to make sure we get those social media plugs on there. So where, besides going to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, because all the links are going to be there, other than that, where can they go to look for you at this point, Kim? I'm sure it's not hard to find, but where do they go to find? Is it the Grindhouse Radio? Is it your own personal ones? Where do you want them to go on social media to find you?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm everywhere. You know, you could find us at The Grindhouse Radio, basically on all social media. Yes. If you're into, if you're into pop culture show, that's that kind of show for you. If you're into Disney or theme parks, at The Magic Kim Tom on all social media. Yes. And also my personal, where you can literally find all of those. So if you just want to go to me, I'm at Kim Adragna. That's Adragna. And you could find everything there from The Grindhouse, my own show, MKT, everything. Or crazy tweets or Instagram posts. So I warn you, it's going to be a time.
There you go. Exactly. So Kim, once again, we're going to make sure that's all available to you. And I'm going to keep on sending your way. We're definitely going to keep doing that internet handshake between both
Absolutely.
Of us. But ladies and gentlemen, Kim Adragna of The Grindhouse Radio, thank you so much for coming on. And I bid you adieu, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Bye, Brian.
Yeah. And next time we'll make sure and check in next Saturday, guys, because we might have another particular guest coming on the show. Maybe a couple of them. Just stay tuned. You know how this works. Every week you'll see me next Saturday. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.